The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From Radio. This is your host Mark Torres speaking. With me in the studio, I have.
Hi.
I don't have Emery with me, but I do have Brian, the engineer, and our very own Kara, the intern, who just messed up. But that's why she's an intern, because she's learning and not getting paid for it, so it's okay. Do we have Hassan on the phone? Was that Hassan there? So say hi, Hassan.
No,
Hassan.
I'm not on the phone.
Yes, you are here in spirit, but you're not on the phone.
I'm not on the phone. I'm with you in spirit.
Yes, because I think we sent you to jail last week.
Was I in jail?
Yeah, you were in jail. Which the consensus was is worse than death.
Really?
Yes.
I was in a place worse than death.
Which is jail.
Wow. I actually thought I was having a good time last week, but apparently I was in jail.
Well, depends how much you like jail.
Apparently so. Yes.
Our very own Charlie Saladino, senior correspondent, had a death in the family, so he will not be joining us this week. So our condolences to his family and himself, obviously.
Indeed.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on the live audio streaming, as opposed to the dead audio streaming, which is
I prefer dead audio streaming, personally.
Which is better than jail. Jail
order. Yeah, everything is better than jail.
I don't know. I was in the minority. I thought that jail was better than death.
No. Death is better.
Well, since you were the one that was there, I think you have the expertise on that, right?
Yes, I have the authority on it.
And you can also go onto the website and you can see myself and Brian and Kara the intern on the webcam right now, waving hi, hey. And that's only if you're listening to us live right now, which is our present, which would be your present, unless you're listening to us on the archives, which is your
move
future,
on,
which is our present.
On. Just keep moving.
And we'll be on some other time talking about
keep
some other
moving.
Time. So, just like last week, we're doing a double duty show this week. We're doing two things at one time. Later on in the second half of the show, we're going to have a Mike Armstrong from the New York Comic Con. He's going to be talking about that, which is kind of awesome, and we also have a special giveaway for that. And we're also, in the beginning of the show, we're going to be talking about the movie X-Men. Did you see the movie X-Men, Hassan?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, we're going to do what we did last week, which is the Charlie Saladino version of the news. Somebody died. Some movie made a lot of money. They're going to reboot or remake something that you've cherished in your childhood. And I'm going to say something that gets Hassan upset. And we're going to say something that's incredibly stupid.
How was that last week's news when I wasn't even on the show?
No, that is. That was last week's news, and this is this week's news. That was the news right there. That was Charlie Saladino's version of the news.
So you're done doing the news.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
That was the news.
Yeah, but you're done doing the news.
Like, yes.
Like the old, it's kind of a free-form, like, performance art kind of thing now, right?
Well, I mean, when we're doing single duty shows, we'll be back to regular format of news and what have you. But double duty shows, we do the Charlie Saladino version of the news, which we just did.
And then what's the double duty though?
Well, we're doing two different topics of the on our show. Usually, we do one topic. As you are so well aware of, we do our little shtick. We do the news, and we take a break, and then we have our whatever we're talking about movie guests. But since
I'm fond of the breaks,
double duty. So we do two things at the same time. So something's gotta go, and since the news pretty much, as Charlie has said, is pretty much generic, it can be broken down to those talking points.
Okay.
So that would be the news, the Charlie Saladino right. version of the news. But we do have a contest, which we love to announce. Contest. Last week we had Frank Patz from the Eternal Con. We gave away tickets to the Eternal Con, which is next week, the 14th and 15th. And this week we're going to be giving away passes to the New York Comic Con, which is also next week, the 14th and 15th. So you guys can battle it out and have a big old Anchorman-type battle in New York to see which convention you're going to go to. So we're going to, what we like to do is we're going to do the world's easiest contest, which we love calling. I think we'll do two and two. So I have four tickets right here in front of my hands, as you can see on the web camera. So we're going to do two and
only
three.
If you're watching from the web camera, though.
Well, if you're watching and you're listening to us in the future, present, now, as opposed to listening to his end, because then the convention's already over.
So, Hassan, you just had to have him go there, right?
Yeah. I regretted it immediately.
Too late.
So we have, so we're going to do two winners for two passes each winner. So the first one will get two passes for the Saturday day, and the second one will get two passes for the Saturday. So two and two. And the world's easiest contest is we'll take the first two callers now, because you get the first caller win and then the second caller win. So you get the opportunity of being second place, being first loser, and still you get to win. How awesome is that?
I was a little desperate.
Desperate? All right, fine. So then nobody gets anything. And I'll go. I'm already going.
I say make them call in thinking they're going to get something, and then they find out when they call they get nothing. That's a lesson. That's what we call a life lesson.
That's Hassan.
The cancer radio's life lesson.
That's Hassan's contest, the world's meanest contest.
Exactly. It's the world's meanest. It's the cruelest contest.
It's like,
you know what? It only works if you call it the world's cruelest contest. You're only going to get people to play once. So you got to disguise it as this other thing.
It was like that that show. There was a reality show that it was they were trying to find the world's worst singer, but they didn't tell anybody they were looking for the world's worst singer. And so all the people who had talent and everything, they're like, "Yeah, we don't want you." And they're like, I'm so good. I can't believe this show is terrible, but not knowing that it was for the worst.
Yes, that's the way you do it. That's how it's done.
Yeah.
That's how, that's a classic story of how Sleepy Hollow worked, on me, at least.
Really?
The movie, Sleepy Hollow. I went into that movie, I had no idea that movie was a mystery until halfway through.
Ah.
See, when you don't know a movie is a mystery, you don't take mental notes.
Right.
You're just sitting there letting it happen, you know, letting the shark attack people, you know, letting the whale, you know, snatch people off the deck of the boat, whatever. You're not thinking there's going to be a book report.
Right.
And then they reveal to you halfway through, oh, wait, someone's responsible for all this, and we have to figure out who it is. And you're like, I'm so behind in my note-taking, I don't know who it is. I'm bewildered. This mystery works simply because I was not prepared.
All right, fair enough. So I guess we're going to prepare everybody. See, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Well, we're not doing the cruelest contest,
right.
So, you know, we don't need to. This is actually a genuine contest with genuine prizes.
The world
will genuinely win.
Easiest contest. So,
yeah.
It's even easier because if you don't call in first, you still win.
Well, you should make it. You should call it the world's easiest contest where they call in and they do win. Then make it really difficult for them to come pick the prize up. See?
Yeah, we'll
make it like a life and death struggle to come and get the prize.
See, that would be interesting.
Yeah, it would. That's what I thought of it.
So the number here is area code 631-888-8811. That is 631.
Repeat that for the faint of heart right there.
888-8811. First two callers will win two passes to the New York Comic Con, which is next week.
Basically, the two people listening right now should.
Mrs. Faversham.
One of you should call.
And Mrs. Faversham's kid.
Yes.
All right, so.
Mrs. Faversham and Mrs. Faversham's cat.
So, let's see. I got to read a live advertisement on air. Before we do our
we're running out of time here for segment one.
All right. Coming June 14th and 15th from the creators of the New York Comic Con is a special edition NYC, a unique new comic book festival held in the birthplace of comics, New York City. Looking to collect the latest comics, buy the hard-to-find back issues, or add original art to your collection? Special Edition NYC offers fans the unique opportunity to have intimate access to some of the top creators in the industry, like Marvel, DC, Valiant, and Archie Comics, just to name a few. Special Edition NYC, June 14th and 15th at the Javits Center in New York City. For more information, go to www.specialeditionnyc.com to get your tickets now. Or you can call us right now and you can get free ones. So that's my advertisement.
Don't delay.
So when should people start calling?
Right now, right now.
Okay, so if you're listening, call right now.
Right now, yes. Alrighty, so we're going to be talking about the movie X-Men this week while we're waiting for our guests to come in at the halfway point. This is a free-flowing conversation, so the spoilers may or probably will most likely be mentioned.
Hey, Mark, just a quick question. Did you want to talk to the winners on the air, or do you just want to get their pertinent information, like name, number, address?
Heck with the winners.
the heck with the winners.
Go ahead, yes.
If they want to go on air.
Okay, only if they want to. Okay, you got it.
So you can ask them because they might be shy.
Okay, that is true.
All right. I say you won. Just be happy with that. And move on. That's my personal attitude.
So this X-Men movie will be the...
And what was the question again? So that we know what answer to give.
Oh, almost forgot.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost forgot. No, there is no question. There was a debate about the Godzilla sound that we had. And it was posted on our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, that Kara the intern was correct about how the sound effect of Godzilla was with the rubbery glove and the thing. So good job, Kara the intern, for being right about that. See, thanks for reminding me that.
So there's no question. You're just looking for two first.
Yes, no question.
No question. Awesome. So one and two callers. Cool.
All right.
All right. Stand by.
There we go. That's why it's the world leading concept.
X-Men movie.
Well, and if counting all of them, this would be the sixth one.
No, it's the fifth X-Men movie.
All right. Fine.
Yeah. Fine. The other two are Wolverine movies.
But they have X-Men in the title.
Yeah, but they're not X-Men movies because they do not feature the X-Men.
Actually, in Wolverine Origins, it did have the X-Men in it. It had Xavier. It had Cyclops. They were there. They were. Just saying. Anyway.
So. I'm sure that the studios would say that there are five X-Men films with two offshoot or...
Satellite movies?
Yes.
Right.
Which are the Wolverine movies.
Correct. All right.
The spinoffs.
Okay.
They're not X-Men movies. They're not genre X-Men movies. Which are X-Men, X-Men United.
Because they weren't united in the first one.
X-Men Last Stand. Yes, because they were separated in the first one. X-Men First Class.
Right.
And now X-Men Age of Future Past.
Right.
Soon to be followed up by X-Men...
Age of
Apollo. We really, really want you to keep coming and paying us a lot of money. And then X-Men, seriously, this is just like the Avengers. And then X-Men, no, really. No, seriously, Bryan Singer's gone. Please come back to these movies.
You already wrote Bryan Singer off? Man.
Everybody else is.
So you saw it. What did you think of it?
Let's just start it off by saying I didn't like the previous X-Men movies. I thought that they were, and I'm a very known non-enthusiast for Joss Whedon.
Right.
However, I must honestly say his Avengers movie was exactly the way I thought the X-Men movies should have been from the start. It was epic, it was free-flowing, it was large-budgeted, it was very action-adventure oriented, it was emotional, it did rely on the character, and I think one of the reasons that that movie got away with a lot was because those characters had been previously established in their own movies, prior to the release of the Avengers. But we knew who the characters were, and we cared about them, and then, they had their rockin' space adventure and giant war at the end of it. And I always thought that X-Men should have been along that caliber, should have been that powerful, should have been more showcasing the powers and the mutant abilities of the characters, and more the struggle of what it was to be an X-Men in the world, blah, 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 blah. And I found the first X-Men movie very lackluster. I found the second movie an attempt to kind of up the ante, but it was really subdued because of the first movie. I just really think that it just really could not get itself off the ground. I thought Last Stand was a slight improvement in the scope of it and how many people it involved, but it was just a terrible story and it was really terribly put together. I thought First Class was just confusing as heck because I didn't know if it was supposed to be a reboot or reimagining or a sequel or whatever, because if it was supposed to be brand new with brand new characters, why was Hugh Jackman in it and why was Rebecca Romijn in it and, you know, all that other stuff. So I said all that to say that Days of Future Past, I went in there with absolutely very, you know, very low expectations of it. I'm very happy that the movie is being well received, because it's really, whatever is good for the comic book industry and whatever is good for the comic book to movie ratio is good for, you know, for geeks all around the world. But I have to say, no, again, no.
Really?
You've done it again. It's another schlock piece of intentionally convoluted soap opera-y, and none of these are real words, and I acknowledge that, soap opera-ish kind of human interest piece with very little, you know, showcasing of the actual thing that makes these people extraordinary. Quicksilver has his own little sequence in the film, which is great, and there's a comedic nod about his origins that was very cute, and he stole the movie, but there was no more of that. I mean, that's basically the best part of the film. So you figure a movie with Patrick Stewart in it, and Ian McDiarmid, what's her name, Kitty Pryde,
Ellen Page,
and Hugh Jackman, and what's his
Michael
name?
Fassbender.
McAvoy and Fassbender. You figure all these people put together are going to make this amazing movie, and it's just not. It's just a mess. It's a convoluted mess, and it served a purpose to kind of erase the stigma of the last few movies, which were admittedly dogs. You know that at least even the studio is admitting that these last few movies were dogs. And they needed to be cut out of the equation so that we could start from scratch. It's just terrible.
Wow.
I just didn't like it.
Wow. I'm 180 degrees on this. I really liked this movie. I thought it was a fun movie. It was entertaining. Very entertained. And I think more than anything, the fact that they went through the trouble of just saying, you know what, everything else doesn't matter. Kind of, that's why I enjoyed it a lot, because I was like, all right, this ain't so bad, and I'm with it, I understand what's going on, nice special effects, okay, the interaction from, all right, interaction of the characters were pretty decent. Wasn't a great superhero movie, which I think that's what the X-Men stuff needed, because, man, they tried to go all special effecty, and not try to work off any story. It didn't work, and especially with all the inconsistencies and everything. It was just a whole bunch of mess. And I was not a fan of the X-Men series either. I thought they Wolverine got it right, even though he's like 2 feet taller than he's supposed to be. But that's pretty much all they did right. I kind of liked the second one until Hassan pointed out why I should not like the second one.
I get the blame.
Yeah, I remember there was one scene where I was like, wow, Wolverine's, you know, attacking, he's fighting stuff, he's doing Wolverine stuff, and you're like, he's attacking United States men, they shouldn't be doing that? But I'm like, yeah, but it's so cool, and like, yeah, but he shouldn't be doing that.
Well, there was more of that in this.
And
I learned with the fact that, let me ask you a question.
All right.
Like, there's a couple of, there's no choice. Some of these are spoilers, and I'm going to stay away from the culmination of the movie as best as possible.
All right.
How did Wolverine get his claws back?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. how did Xavier come back to life?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. The fact that you're okay with that.
It's a classic comic book maneuver. They've done it all the time in comic books, so I don't see why they can't do it in a movie. If all those problems, it doesn't matter anymore because of what happened in this movie. That's one of the reasons why I liked it. It's like, well, none of that stuff matters because it was crap anyway. So this will actually explain a lot of things.
No, it there didn't was, explain anything. It didn't explain the thing. And I think I understand what you're saying about the they reset the switch.
Right.
But in order for the film to have begun, you would have had to explain those little things before you reset the switch. If everything is broken and then you throw the reset switch,
right,
then you have to deal with the fact that everything is broken before you threw that switch. All bets are off after you throw the switch. But before you throw the switch, you better be explaining how you got to the switch in the first place.
That's the reason why they got to the switch in the first place, because they didn't bother explaining anything ever. Anything at all. All the movies are like, well, that doesn't make any sense. They don't care about physics. If you have a teleporter and you're moving at 100 miles an hour and you teleport, you're still moving at 100 miles an hour, which is the same problem they did with X-Men First Class, which was just a bird when they were messing up all those things. And they didn't even care. They didn't even bother to care. They didn't even try. So it's just like, I'm going to go back to the comics. It's just like a comic book. One writer was writing something, and they're like, all right, well, this is how it is. And the other writer comes along and goes, yeah, that didn't matter, and I'm not even going to bother to explain it because it was crap. That's what they did in this movie. The thing that bothers me about it is that everybody's just panning X-Men 3 when all of them were terrible. All
right. But you're saying that such things, like using that particular tool, using the nuclear option,
yes,
of who cares, is,
yes,
what makes it good.
Well, I'm saying that they got rid of everything.
They don't actually do that in comic books, you know. They make the effort of explaining one or two things. The explanation for it may be absurd, and it may be what pisses everybody off. But they do acknowledge that some of these things have to be explained, and then they go about trying to explain it. In this particular situation,
they didn't bother.
Yeah, and that's what makes it terrible. You're trying to use this to fix everything that's wrong with the franchise.
Without acknowledging that anything was wrong.
You do acknowledge everything was wrong, though. See, that's what I'm saying. It's a paradox. If you're going to go into it acknowledging that nothing is wrong, then why are you fixing it? Obviously, something was wrong.
But they don't want to admit it. They didn't even bother.
They've admitted it, though.
No, I'm saying in the movie itself, and even Bryan Singer was interviewed, and he was like, you know what, I just kind of just like, whatever, and hopefully they don't remember this stuff, and then I carried on. That was his excuse. Like, that's the director. So if the director's going to be
like that. And then that's why you liked it. That's why we get movies like this and Transformers or whatever, because there's always a stooge like you going, you know, this is what I like about it. It was entertaining.
I was highly entertained.
I gotta
say, I was entertained, and the fact that they fixed all this stuff that...
They didn't fix anything!
That's
the problem. You didn't fix a thing, because you didn't even acknowledge that it was broken. So you can't fix what you won't even admit is broken in the first place. And they took this time, they spent $100 million to fix what was broken, and just started asking a whole bunch of new questions. They left a whole bunch of new things broken. It's an utter failure.
Absolute
failure.
But all those questions don't matter anymore.
See, you don't get this. You're missing the point. Obviously they matter. You know why?
Why?
Because they spent $100 million to try to fix it. So obviously it does matter. You can't say it doesn't matter if your entire effort went to fixing what you're saying doesn't matter. It's flawed. It's flawed at the design stage. It's a flawed piece of crap from the beginning. You're trying to clean up crap with a handful of crap, and then you're wondering why you can't get rid of the crap. And you were there going, you know what? Something about cleaning up crap with crap that it entertains me. So I say it's good. And that's where you get the problem. There you go.
All right. Fine.
It's philosophical, my friend. Look, it's philosophical. You ask a question, right? You're going to turn around, you're going to ask a question.
Right.
You're going to say, look, I made a mistake about this, so I want to fix it.
Right.
All right. Go ahead, fix it. You turn around, see, is it fixed? No, you didn't quite fix it because you left this. Well, that doesn't matter.
Because it's fixed. It's fixed now.
You tried to fix it. No.
Now it's fixed.
No, it's not.
Let it stay fixed until the next movie.
With the fact that Bryan Singer, if we're going to use the producers and the directors' words to to accentuate our point, Bryan Singer came along and said, "This is the last X movie that stars this cast."
Well, that's what he said. Now he's changed it again.
He said this is the last of the original cast.
Yeah, but then he said that they're going to put him in the next one. So right there, because of the...
There you go.
Queen.
So he's a liar. He's a talentless hack liar who tries to clean up crap with crap and then hopes that everybody forgot the crap in the first place. He's useless. He's worse than Whedon.
I thought you were going to say he's worse than Michael Bay.
Go.
Huh? I thought you were going to say he was worse than Michael Bay.
He's no, nobody's worse than Michael Bay. Michael Bay is the god of bad. He's the god of hack. Michael Bay is who gives Bryan Singer and J.J. Abrams and all those other people I don't like. He's the one who gives them their instructions. He sends them out to be hacks in new and extraordinary ways all over the world.
All right?
No one's ever going to beat Michael Bay. Sorry.
So I'm going to ask you just because. So go
Why?
See it.
Why
don't
would you
see
even
it.
Ask me this question?
Go see it. Don't see it. 3D, not 3D. Well.
I refuse to be part of this.
All right.
What do you mean don't see it? This is the point, Mark.
Well, we're summing it up. We're doing our summary.
We're
summarying up. We said what we thought, and now we're saying we should go see it.
Here's the point. You
yes.
didn't even listen to me.
What I
just said should have answered the question. It should have left questions
in
your mind.
We need it on record for you to say
no,
see it.
No, I'm not
it.
Going on record with anything.
All right,
I need to be on record for?
So from the disc of Hassan Godwin... Hassan Godwin says, no, don't go see it. I, however, say do see it because I think it was one of the best ones out there.
I didn't say no, don't go see it.
Haha, you just did.
Nothing.
You just did.
I didn't say it.
You just said you didn't say it. But
we could
edit it out to make you say it, so you said it.
And that's still a lie. This is why you like the movie, because you're into lies and crap and bad narratives and editing.
All right,
there you
fine.
Go.
So yep. if you like good crap with bad editing,
if you don't think that Mark is a moron, please don't see the movie. But if you do think that Mark is a moron, do as I say. And do nothing.
Fine.
We'll do anything.
We'll go with that then. So we are on our break. We'll be right back with the Cape and Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Was hot. Now back to our show.
And welcome back to Came From Radio. This is your host,
Man, are we back already?
Along with Hassan Godwin in purgatory somewhere on the internet.
Purgatory. I'm at home. can we just say I'm at home?
Home in purgatory?
No, it's not purgatory. Okay. It's my home.
So while Hassan was pummeling me with the debate on the X-Men movie, we did have two callers for the passes to the NYC for the Saturday show. We have a Tristan from Elmont, New York, and a Corey from Valley Stream. I'm hoping
neither of whom wanted to be on the air.
Neither of whom wanted to be on the air with us, but I hope we got all their information from. I'm sure she wrote all that down because I'm hoping it's just not just the first name and that's it.
Well, that's their fault.
To just show up, hey, I'm Corey, I'm Tristan, let me in.
Winning. Try. Good luck collecting the prize.
So, as I mentioned earlier, we have a special guest for the second half of the show. We have Mike Armstrong from Repop, right?
Gentlemen, how are you? I'm good.
Hi, Mike. So, why don't you explain what your duties is at Repop, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure. So, for Repop, I'm the sales director across all of the events, so that includes New York Comic Con, C2E2, all of the PAX events, which we have four of now, including one in Australia. We have the UFC shows. We've got Star Wars Celebration, which is coming up in 2015 in Anaheim. And when we started throwing the concept around of special edition, I sort of raised my hand to be the event director on it. So I have day-to-day oversight of special edition, and we're 1 week away. So I'm feeling a little tired, but ready to get going.
So Let's start from the most important question. Why have a second convention of New York Comic Con in the same year?
Sure. Well, New York Comic Con, when it started 8 years ago, was something like this. It was mostly comic books. And over the years, New York Comic Con's grown and it's grown. And it means so many different things to so many different people right now. But we kind of felt the need to get back to the source material and put the focus back on the creators, because the show in October can be so overwhelming because there's so much going on. There's so many panels. There's so many guests you want to see, and you're not able to see it all. I know I'm not. So we wanted to give people the opportunity to meet some creators and see some cool comic-related programming in an atmosphere that was a little bit more intimate, a little less hectic, but still delivers all the content that we would want to deliver at New York Comic Con.
So do you find that a quote-unquote comic book convention is no longer just a comic book convention?
Well, you know, it certainly has changed. I mean, comic book conventions have turned more into pop culture conventions. And, you know, you go to any show and there's, you know, autographed guests for people in TV and movies, and there's wrestlers and there's anime. And, you know, that stuff's great because there are people there who want to see that. But, you know, over the years, we've seen the show grow so much that we really did want to get back to just comic books. And we're excited that we're able to do that next weekend.
So how is it that you decided, okay, we're going to have it at this particular day as opposed to any other day? Why Father's Day weekend? Was that a special thing because we know that fathers love comics?
Well, fathers do love comics. Unfortunately, with dealing with giant convention centers, you're kind of at their will when it comes to planning something. So we knew we wanted to do it in the summer, and this is kind of where we landed. And, you know, it works out nicely for Father's Day because we've seen ticket sales start to pick up really well for Father's Day because we've got kids who are bringing their dads gift. But it is what it is, and we're really excited with how things started to turn out.
Now, I know, as you said, you guys started out doing the New Comic-Con 8 years ago. What other, you said you did Anime Next, that came after that. What came before the New York Comic-Con as you guys were doing events?
So New York Comic-Con was our first event. That's our
that was the first Repop.
Yeah, that was our first show. It was in the basement of the Javits Center in One Hall. And over the last 8 years, we've seen it grow so much that we take over the entire building now, including the wing that the Javits has built in the last couple of years. So it's gone from one tiny hall to the entire building. It's astounding to see how quickly it's grown.
So how do you pick and choose what programming goes into each individual con? You said you did the Anime Next, you do the PAX, you do the Star Wars thing. Obviously, you're going to have Star Wars things, but how do you decide, okay, this is what I'm going to put here, this is what I'm going to put there, as opposed to oversaturating the market?
Yeah, well, we really listen to the fans, and, you know, C2E2 came out of a need in Chicago for a good comic book show, and we listened to the fans, we listened to our partners in Marvel and DC, and they said they wanted something there, so, you know, we just kind of keep our ear to the ground, and we listen. For the PAX events, for example, Seattle has sold out. We put tickets for PAX Seattle on sale 2 weeks ago, and they sold out in literally 50 minutes. And, you know, so we decided we needed to do something in Boston so we could do something on the East Coast. And at Boston this year, we announced we were doing a PAX in San Antonio. So, you know, we were listening to fans and the market demand, and we listened to some of our publishing partners about where they want things. And, you know, we kind of were a traveling circus at this point.
Now, I can sort of speak for Hassan on this, and Hassan may want to jump in on this point. We're always talking about how the fans really don't know what they want. I mean, they always say they want one thing, and they say they hate stuff, and then they go and spend money on the very thing that they hate. So how do you take that advice and use it constructively, especially since it's so volatile and such a change, and they could change overnight? How do you follow that route?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think the way that we do that is we continue to keep growing so we can give people multiple options. So take New York Comic Con, for example. People say they don't want comics, so we give them anime. They say we don't want anime, so we give them movies and TV. It's you know, we're an incredibly flexible team. We're always coming up with new things and new concepts, taking fan feedback and building things. And if it doesn't work, we tweak a little bit for the next year. But we really want to give people the options. You know, if they say they want something and they really don't want it, then there's at least something else for them to do at one of our shows.
Has there ever been any time when you've had the outcry saying, we want this, and then you're like, this is the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard of, and then you went and tried out to go and do it?
Let's see. Nothing that's, like, overly ridiculous. I think you really just start to see some niche groups of fandom that kind of emerge out of nowhere and take you by surprise. I know a couple of years ago we were all trying to figure out what a brony was, and you see them en masse at our shows now. So I think it's just staying flexible and talking to retailers, talking to fans, and trying to keep in touch with what's next on the horizon, because it's always something you weren't expecting.
So what is the dream guest that you would have to book, and have you gotten that guest yet?
So who's my favorite guest?
Yes, your personal dream guest. Who would be the person you would love to get and haven't gotten yet? Or have you gotten them?
Oh, man. See, I'm a big indie guy, so I had been following this guy named Ryan Brown for a long time. He does a book called God Hates Astronauts. It recently just got picked up by Image. He had a massive Kickstarter thing, and I was always a fan of his because he did concert posters for a couple of my favorite bands. Found out that he got into comics. He lives in Chicago, so he was a perfect fit for our C2E2. And it was just one of those things how people, you know, this guy was doing poster art for a long time and then just started dabbling in comics. And I had known him through his poster art. And just seeing him in one of our shows kind of brought it full circle because, you know, I'd been following him before I had been working at ReadPop. So him and, you know, just, you know, seeing Stan at every show, it's always good because he's so much energy, and he's just such a fan favorite. So to see him doing well for Special Edition, the All Reds, having them come over to the East Coast, which they don't do very often, I'm really excited about. Gail Simone's always a big favorite, and Annie Wu, who's coming to Special Edition, who does Hawkeye, she's been really good recently. There's just so many people that I'm just so excited to see, and I try to spend as much time walking around and talking to the creators, but, you know, the demands of the job sort of get in the way most of the time.
So, without naming any names, we're going to go the opposite way. Has there been someone that you have booked who you just like, oh, why am I booking this guy? I don't like this guy or this person. Has that ever happened to you, and how do you deal with that on a personal level?
Oh, sure, it happens all the time. I mean, we're all fans, too, so, you know, you guys, I called in right at the end of the Bryan Singer X-Men conversation, so certain things are still polarizing, and there's people within the group who are big fans of certain things that I might not be a big fan of. And so, you know, you just got to think about it from the fans' perspective and, you know, take yourself out of the equation and recognize that there are fans who are going to want to see them. So, you know, at the end of the day, if the fans are having a good time at our show, the show's for the fans, not for me.
All right. You mentioned earlier that you're an indie guy. You like indie stuff. But as we all know, the cash cow is mainstream media. It always has been, always will be. So how do you juggle between the indie stuff, which you personally like, and a lot of people out there do like, which we like to cover the indie stuff also, and then the mainstream big name stuff? How do you manage to coordinate that?
You know, like I said before, it's giving the fans what they want. So while the indie stuff is there, and that's what I gravitate a little bit more towards, I recognize the fact that there are people who are there for Marvel, they're there for DC, they're there for the big name creators, and that's great. And you know, as long as I've got my needs met by the indie guys that I want to see and talk to, then the rest is just gravy.
Hassan, you have any questions for Mike?
Just the one. There's no if, because it's probably definitely going to be successful. Is this summer edition going to be something we're going to see year after year?
Yeah, I really hope so, and I think the fans, you know, just based on ticket sales, are gravitating towards the concept, and I think it's the kind of thing that we can pick up and move if we want to. So the brand special edition can go into different cities, it can go to different countries, it can move around, and you know, while I think that there's definitely a market for two shows in New York, you know, this sort of thing could end up in Austin or Portland or wherever we think that there's a need or where the fans want us to go. So I know that it's going to do well next weekend, and you know, if it lasts in New York, then that's good, but it could go anywhere.
Fans has been the cornerstone of the New York Comic Con. I mean, we've talked to many guys at your company. We've talked to Lance Fensterman, and we've also talked to Kim Muller.
My apologies.
And they always, that's the one common theme I always notice, that they're always talking about the fans, the fans, the fans, the fans, the fans. Is that something that you, when you guys started out, you're like, all right, we're going to just do this for the fans? Because there are other, you know, there are other conventions out there. I mean, San Diego was, you know, probably one of the oldest ones. And then you had Wizard for a long time. And now they're making a comeback. And then you have all the little independent convention goes out there. So is it really just about the fans? Or is it kind of like an amalgam of how things work with the business and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's obviously a business aspect of this too, but we've always found that if you treat the fans well, the business stuff is going to take care of itself. If you treat the fans well, then the publishers are going to take notice, and the publishers are going to come to the show. We take it really hard on ourselves when something doesn't go well. You know, for New York, we have 134,000 people come to New York Comic Con, and you know, we get a really small amount of emails after the show who were talking about things that they didn't like or they didn't have a good experience, and we take that really personally. And you know, it may be 100 emails, but 100 emails out of 134,000 in the grand scheme of things isn't a lot. But just to know that 100 people came and didn't have the best experience, it's not good. We've always said that you take care of the fans and everything will take care of itself, because then the ticket sales are there, then the publishers want to be there, and then the buildings want to work with you. It's you know, it might sound cliche, but it's true, and I'm glad that Lance and Kim said the same thing, because it's a group-wide kind of thing that we think about all the time.
And speaking of the fans and keeping them happy, I mean, I've been to many conventions, and the one thing I have to say about the New York Comic Con for the past 7 years, I didn't get to go to one, is that crowd control. Every year I always see you guys try something new, and every time the crowd control is like, yeah, well, we're not going to handle that. We're New Yorkers. We're going to do it our way. Have you ever noticed that the New York group is just a very different crowd than all the other places you go to?
It's a much different crowd, and I'm glad you brought that up, because we always, you know, we go to different shows, and it might be a little bit more subdued, or you know, it might be a little bit more orderly, but then we think to ourselves, like, this, just imagine walking down a street in New York City, like, this is how it is. This is what they're used to, and crowd control is a big deal for us, and last year we implemented RFID chips into the badges for the first time, just so that we could have an accurate count of how many people were in the building, just so that we could have better enter and exit procedures, and it was a huge, huge investment. It was many hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that, but at the end of the day, it helped significantly with getting people into the building and getting people out and just making sure that, you know, everything was safe.
Speaking of safety, I mean, you know, now at the day and time that we're at, how important is it to have everything being safe and secure and yet still a free-flowing convention?
Oh, it's so important, and you know, we work on things continuously, and we have great partners with the Javits Center and with NYC and Co. and with the local public safety departments at this show, and then at every other show we do, especially the PAX events, because you know, there's, you know, 90,000 people in one place, and you never know. So we take that really hard. We take a really hard look at everything, every building procedure. We've started doing random bag checks at every show. There's bomb sniffing dogs wandering in the aisles at a lot of our events. So it's a big investment, but at the end of the day, it's to keep our fans safe or at least give people the peace of mind. It's really important to us.
And one of the other common things that Hassan and Charlie like to talk about is the fans themselves. Sometimes they just don't know what to do. So we try to educate them on how to do proper con, proper con etiquette.
Or to navigate the show correctly.
Yeah, so
in order to be happy.
What advice can you give to our listeners right now who are saying, oh, I don't know how to do my first con, I don't know what to do. I'm going to wear this giant big box costume and take up five aisles and bring my baby in a carriage and have her on a rope and walking down the aisles. What advice can you give to those people?
Oh, there's so many things I want to say here. The first one being, always ask somebody if you can take their picture. It's a thing that comes up at every single one of our events. It's a big deal within the convention industry right now. Always ask if you can take someone's picture, because just because they're dressed up in cosplay doesn't mean they want their picture taken. Don't stand in main cross aisles in a group of five taking pictures of one person and don't move. Let's block four aisles. I've walked through enough convention centers and enough packed show floors that I can usually figure out the easiest route, but sometimes it's walking to the loading docks and then walking across the entire convention. But common sense, man. Don't stand like there's nobody else around you and take pictures indiscriminately. It's that's probably the most annoying thing about conventions for me.
is that one of the things you always notice us on, the picture takers?
You know what? My peeve with people in the shows are best left. they're numerous, and I don't want my misgivings to be confused with the misgivings of the guest. I think his point is well taken. I think the most poignant thing is when he said, don't go around like you're the only person on the show floor. And I think that goes for that's all encompassing. That's kind of widespread. Me just being a consumer and a customer who has been at pretty much every one of the New York conventions. That's kind of if there is any kind of inherent kerfuffle every year. It's people kind of wandering around like they're the main. They're the main attraction of the show, and it's really just not that case. I would completely agree.
So, Mike, we have about 8 minutes left, so this is the time to promote anything you want to promote. Mention the website, mention who's going to be there. Sell it, man, sell it.
All right, man. So Special Edition NYC is just in the Javits North building of the Javits Center, so where Artist Alley has been held for the last 2 years, we're taking that whole building over, and it's just comic books. So we've got about 300 creators that are towards the back in our Artist Alley area. The front will be Golden and Silver Age dealers. There'll be publishers. Marvel has a booth. Valiant has a booth. Archie has a booth. Some of the mid-tier guys like Devil's Due are going to be there. Captain Action, Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. So we've got a nice dealer area. We've got a great Artist Alley filled with people. Howard Chaykin, the All Red, the Young Guns from Marvel. Gail Simone, Darwin Cook, Francesco Francavilla, just some really, really great creators that you don't necessarily see at every show. And if they are at every show, it might not be easy to get to them. So this is giving people a more intimate atmosphere to meet people in. Panels, a couple from DC. We've got a Batman 75th anniversary panel. The Young Guns are on a panel. There's a couple spotlights with Howard Chaykin and the All Reds. We're just excited, man. We've been kicking around this idea for about 2 years. And it finally came to fruition, and we're really excited to see how the fans and the publishers and the community are embracing it. I've got a promotion for you guys, specifically for a Long Island resident. So if you go to specialeditionnyc.com by the end of the day, Monday, buy tickets using the coupon code WL5, you'll get $5 off each ticket, and I'll mail you a round-trip ticket on the LIRR, so it'll get you there, drop you off at Penn Station. It's an easy walk from the Javits from there. So it's coupon code WL5, specialeditionnyc.com, and you'll get that coupon code for $5 off and the LIRR ticket.
Wait, so you're saying, let's make sure, you can get a $5 off the ticket to the convention, and you get a free trip back and forth?
Yes, you do.
That's awesome.
I know. It's from our friends at LIRR. I mean, it's...
When are you going to start giving out plane tickets?
We give enough of those for creators to get them to come to the show. I'm not from Long Island. I'm a Connecticut boy, so I don't know how expensive the LIRR is, but Metro North up here, it's a... into New York and back from where I am, it's about $25. So essentially, your ticket's paid for at that point.
It's about that same thing. It's pretty much that steep.
Even if it's $5, it's still a free trip in and out. That's I can't, you know, it's a free trip, man.
You got to do it end of day Monday, though, because that's how much, it's going to take us a little while to get them all out. So end of day Monday, if you use coupon code WL5, we'll send you, you get the discount, and we'll send you the train ticket in the mail.
Wow, that's awesome. I cannot stress that enough. That's awesome. You know, it's very rare that any convention will pay for you to come to their convention. That's amazing.
Unless you're a creator.
Well, we're talking about the regular average Joe who wants to attend. I'm actually pretty impressed by that. I wasn't sure when you sent the email what did that mean. I was like, does that mean they get to free? But well, that's pretty darn impressive. I'm extremely impressed right now. So, Mike, with less than 5 minutes to go, what got you into comics?
You know, it was really the job. I had worked in baseball for a while and kind of fell into this gig. And I wanted to kind of get into it so I could appreciate what the fans were so excited about. And over the last 5 or 6 years, I've dove in head first, and I really started to appreciate the medium and really just wanted to get the fans' perspective on things. So these days, I've been reading a lot of Image, the Marvel stuff, the new Ghost Rider book with Trad Moore. I love Trad Moore from his old Luther Strode work. The Hawkeye books with Annie Wu and Faction are great. And then on the indie side, a lot of the Image. Actually, Image has had a really good month. Cowl was really good. The Trees were really good. I don't know, there's just good stuff coming out all around. It's a good time to be a fan, man.
All right, so final question. Did you see the X-Men movie, and did you like it?
I have not seen it, but I will see it because, in my opinion, seeing any mediocre X-Men movie is still better than seeing any romantic comedy with my wife, so I will be going to the X-Men movie.
Thank you for sort of backing me up. I will take that as a win.
All right.
I don't think anyone can disagree with that mentality.
That's all right. We'll go with that. Hassan, final thought?
I hope this is not my final thought.
That's terrible. That's not funny. Every time, it's not funny.
It's funny enough to me. Right. When you're springing on me without giving me a minute to think about what my final thought's going to be.
Oh, okay. Mike, final thought?
I hope as many people are going to come visit the show as possible. It's going to be a great time. We're really excited for the future of everything Repop's doing, and especially this, because we got a lot good going for us right now.
So my final thought is thank you very much, Mike Armstrong, for taking time out. I know how difficult it is right before a convention, how crazy it is. So we really appreciate you doing this, especially giving away the tickets on the show. I appreciate that. We had the winners, which was Tristan and Corey. One was from Elmont, one was from Valley Stream. And the coupon code from the LIRR, which is super amazing. I'm totally blown away by that. Make sure you do it by Monday, which is the end of Monday or beginning of Monday.
End of Monday, so midnight of Monday.
Okay.
We'll start mailing on Tuesday.
All right, so that about does it for this week on It Came From Radio. Make sure you guys go out and enjoy the cons. If you can't make it out to one con, you know, enjoy as much as possible, because this is the time to have conventions out there. It's really good if you're a fan of this stuff to really enjoy it as much as possible. We said 2 out of 3 of us say go see the X-Men movie, so you know, do that, and that's about it. So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of this show, you can go on to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com. Listen to the archives, which will be up in a couple of days, and we will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.